Welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. Well, hey, John, it's great to speak to you again, buddy.
Yeah, you're always talking to you. Fun.
Well, I try and make it fun. At times, it can be frustrating. I realize.
Yeah, I'm sure, man. I'm sure.
It's frustrating. What's up? Being me is frustrating, John.
Really?
No, not really. I'm kidding.
I didn't think so. I was about to say you live the charmed life. You're always in front of some great structures. So.
I'm always talking to good people, and that's what's important, man.
That's true.
But today we're going to talk about online sales, because I know you know so much about this. You know, I don't want to blow your trumpet or anything, but you know, you founded the e-commerce association in the US. I believe you've got 7,000 members in that now.
Yeah, it's around 65, but we'll call it 7 to put a zero on the end.
Okay. So it's 7,000.
Yep.
Yeah, and so the combined turnover of those guys is over $100 million, right?
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy, man.
Yeah. And so do they have a various list of kind of shops that they use? So they use Amazon, they use eBay. What else do they kind of sell their stuff through?
I mean, pure play e-commerce. That's the big world, man. But also, you know, Facebook is growing very massively. Instagram is growing. So social is the new frontier.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of online sales, then what do you think about like Alibaba and stuff like that?
I mean, Alibaba is ginormous. It is very focused in on the, you know, Southeast Asia area, with the biggest, of course, in China itself. It has tried to kind of make its platform a little bit more open and helping international sellers get to the Chinese market. And that's been a great offer from them. But there's still a lot to getting sold in China. There's still a lot, but they love name brands. So if you have access to that, China is a great market for you. Now, if you're just going to sell your stuff that you already had made in China and try to sell it back to them, not so well.
So it's a good place to buy stuff, right? If you want to sell it to the Western market, but for now it is.
I mean, there have been some Amazon type businesses that have been upended by some of the taxes and tariffs that have gone on in the last year and a half or 2 years.
Really?
So yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, here in America, particularly, we are seeing some pressure from the president really trying to negotiate with China for a new deal and some pushback from China. So there's a little tariff war going on. It's minor right now, but it could get a little bit major. So that's the stability there is kind of in question right this moment.
Okay. That's very interesting.
So yeah, man.
So for people who want to learn more about online sales, what where do you start?
Well, it depends on what you want to do. I mean, there's two, you know, now I'll say there's three. There's three major plays, right? So the number one play is pure play e-commerce. When I say that, what I mean is creating a store, whether it be a Shopify, a Miva, a BigCommerce, or your own, you know, WooCommerce store. Standalone, not dependent on other people's traffic, but you're driving your own traffic, paying your traffic through, you know, social channels, paid advertising, things like that. That's pure play for me. The other ones are marketplaces. Marketplaces would be something like Amazon, eBay, Etsy, these kind of marketplaces. That's where people actually already exist in their customer base, and you get into that flow of customers simply by launching your product in that space. And then, like I said, I think there's a new hybrid kind of thing coming on where you're able to do social commerce to your e-commerce either landing page or your store. And so one of the things is I think you want to just kind of figure out where your product actually fits best and where your audience is going to best be served by you starting there. So if you're just getting started, I think the one thing you want to do is figure out which area you want to focus in on at the beginning and focus in on that and then expand to others.
Okay. So if you're a business and you're looking to increase your online sales, you would begin by what? Like looking at the kind of Google Analytics and this kind of stuff, or where would you begin?
That's an interesting question. I would begin at what the problem really is. It's like usually, you know, or if there is a problem, are you just trying to grow more business? Then we would really start looking at where you're at, what your customer needs are, and can you expand into your market deeper? So a lot of people are like, hey, I'm on, you know, one platform or one channel, and I want to double my sales. Well, are you going to double it on the current platform, or are you going to try to jump to another platform, start all over, build more sales there? You know, so it's really just about taking an evaluation of where you are, what you want to do, and what are your opportunities? You know, so some clients come to me and they've got a lot of opportunity. They're leaving a lot on the table simply because they don't have a good back end funnel to get more people to buy more. I think CRM, you know, customer relationship management, is an area where a lot of e-commerce people are dropping the ball. It's not about going, it's like 10 times harder to find a new customer than it is to get an old customer to purchase again. And they don't have the back ends. They're not doing the email follow-ups or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And that's an easy win for a lot of businesses. So I think if the first thing I would look at is how can I get my customer who's already purchasing from me 2 times a year to purchase 3 times a year?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So there are many ways to do that in terms of, like, you know, you communicate with them on email and you just encourage them to buy from you, right?
Right. Or, you know, I mean, you just give them a lot of good content and then get them to buy from you, you know, because you already know what their purchase history is. You already know what they are possibly interested in. So you can create content around that and then ultimately get something to buy.
Okay. So what next?
After that, I would definitely look at doing something in terms of your advertising. Where's your advertising budget is? What are you doing with that? Are you buying ads? How are they working? Now, this is, look, what I'm saying to you are things that you want to do after you got the actual sales funnel together. Right. Now, if we go to your website and your buy, the ability for somebody to buy is all messed up. Your cart's slow. You know, the buttons are in the wrong places or are the wrong colors. All of those things, you know, you want to make sure those things are in order before you put any money into expanding. Right? Because there are tweaks, like you said, in your analytics that tell a story that you might be needing to address before you're able to really expand effectively.
Yeah. Well, your load time could be forever, couldn't it? Like any more.
I mean, if you don't know those things,
yeah,
then that's the problem.
Yeah. That's very good advice. So then you're basically you're driving this traffic right to your website or you know your store or whatever, and you've got to know which products are selling better than others, and so you're going to want to optimize those to make sure that you know you're not missing anything. So you might run a few split tests and this kind of stuff. And you might want to increase your product range, or you might want to cut it down, right?
Right. Or you might want to increase your product price.
Right.
Some of the best advice I've given at times to different companies are you need to increase your price. You know, you're looking for more revenue, increase your price. You're looking for more revenue, increase the brand value. So you can increase your price. Those are areas also, you know, it's not all technical. It's really not all technical. I know we get so deep, you know, in the technology and we're looking for faster ways to push people through the funnel when a lot of times the funnel just has a lot of leaky holes. And the biggest problem a lot of e-commerce businesses will have is success. Success covers a multitude of errors. And we just keep running and keep running, keep growing, and never go back and plug those holes in the funnel. So if we could just plug some of those, it'll be amazing how much a company can really succeed and grow. So constantly be in repair, in my opinion. Constantly look for areas of improvement. Just because you got, you know, a fast load time doesn't mean you can't get it even faster. Are you able to really get people from that old school experience of having a website to a new school kind of experience of having a landing page? You know, most commerce now is moving to a landing page because people don't. I mean, when was the last time you went to a website and browsed around for products? Right? People don't do that anymore. They already know what they want to buy, or they have come across it somewhere on a social channel, and then they go to Google or Amazon and search directly for that product. And once they search directly for that product, if you come up, they're already past the awareness phase. They're already past the informational phase. They are ready to make a buying decision. Then does your page bring them right to the end of buy now?
Right.
Or is it so full of all the content that they already went through and I don't want to necessarily navigate through that again to get to the buy button? So you really, really want to, you know, there's so many facets to this that you still want to look for opportunity in all areas. And to do that, just constantly be in improvement phase.
Yeah. Constant innovation is what it's all about, isn't it? And it goes in every area of business and life, right? You always got to strive to get better and better, haven't you?
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, that's what you want to do. I mean, if you're in a brick and mortar store, you look at a brick and mortar store, it doesn't stay the same, right? The shelves change. Sometimes the layout of the store will change because they're in constant improvement, especially in the grocery store. You know, those things are in constant improvement. They want to know, they set the grocery store up so that your pathway that you go through the store to get the standard, there's a reason why the milk's on one side and the vegetables are on another side. Because if you have to go in and get milk and something like butter, so butter will be at the back, milk will be on the right side, and then on the left-hand side will be all your vegetables, right? That forces you to walk through the entire store.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But then don't you think, like, if it's online we're talking about and you can't find products that you bought before really, really easily, you're going to get fed up and you might do something else.
They're going to leave.
Yeah.
They're going to leave,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not going to – that's what I'm saying. It's gone from a regular – shopping experience of what we used to do in the grocery store, going around aisle to aisle, to a single landing page. By the time I get to your page, more than likely I'm ready to buy the product already.
Yeah. Yeah. So that page needs to be laid out so you can just press buy now. You can use your thumbprint if you're on a mobile phone, because traffic's set up for mobile now. And right. then you can just buy it. It's done and it gets delivered with minimum hassle, right? Because that's what we all want. I mean, I'll give you an example what happened to me. So I was signing an NDA yesterday, yeah? I'm not going to say what software it was, but I went onto this platform and I uploaded a document, and I was so confused by the NDA and getting someone to actually sign it, right? Getting myself to sign it was a nightmare, yeah? And it was like, if I had the choice, I wouldn't use that piece of software, yeah? But the person who asked me to sign it wanted me to use that piece of tech, right? But like, it was so annoying. It wasted X amount of time of mine, probably wasted 25 minutes of my time. I was supposed to be watching a webinar about assertiveness. I was trying to like get onto that and listen to this webinar, but I didn't make it purely because of that. And I'll never forget it. I'm serious. I'll never forget that experience because it was so frustrating. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, literally, how can you remove customer frustration has to be at the top of the list for your success online.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's not simple, people are not going to buy. You're dropping a lot of folks out of the funnel.
Oh, yeah. But you've got to imagine that you're the customer, haven't you? You've actually got to sit there and pretend that you don't know anything about your technology. You don't know the journey that people are going to take because you don't know how it works. And you need to ask some people to try it out for you.
Absolutely. That would be like pretty awesome, wouldn't it?
You're not kidding. You'd think.
So why not do it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right? Why not do it? Why not do some customer trials? Why not even get, if you're SMB, small business, you know, get people in your family to navigate and let you watch. Yeah. There's also software that'll allow you to get people to test your website and tell you what their issues are or where they're clicking. There's also hotspot software that you can install that'll tell you where people are clicking. Maybe they're clicking on an image thinking it's a button and it's not really, you know? So all of those kind of things are out there and available to you to let you have greater understanding about the customer journey on your website.
Yeah. It's all about that journey, isn't it? And that's why Amazon are doing so well, because it's so easy. It's just like you go there, you type in what you want, you find it, you search how you want to search, and you just check out, it gets delivered and it's done and you know it's going to be there. And I don't like Amazon, but until
nobody does.
I don't like them. But I use it, and that's what is so annoying.
But here's the deal. Let me ask you, when was the last time you browsed through Amazon?
I never browse through Amazon.
See, that's the thing. Here it is, the most successful e-commerce company on the planet right now. And what they understand already is that most people are not on that site doing finding.
No.
They're on that site doing buying.
Yeah.
Right? It is almost annoying to try to browse Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But
it is.
Yeah. But it's a good place. Like if you've decided what product you want, like I want a video camera, right? So I want a video camera and I've decided the kind of video camera I want and the kind of budget I want to the money I want to spend, right? So I went on there and I had a look the other day and I was like, so I browsed like maybe two or three of, I didn't buy one because I'm not ready yet. Because I haven't decided what I want yet, but I browsed like five or six and I worked out the spec that I want and the spec that I need. Yeah. And it was a really easy process. It was really super simple. The other day I was walking along and my friend said to me, you need to buy this salt for your bath. Yeah. So I had a look and I ordered it whilst I was walking along within 3 minutes. I had found what I wanted. Found the cheapest price with the fastest delivery, clicked with my thumbprint, ordered it. Done.
And where did you buy it at? On Amazon?
On Amazon, yeah.
And here's the funny, did you look at any other platform?
Nope.
See? And now funny thing, you said you found the cheapest, but you probably didn't find the cheapest. You just found the cheapest on Amazon.
Yes.
And exactly. That's where people, that's a lot of traffic is doing just that. And Amazon a lot of times is not the cheapest platform.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. eBay, right. eBay but, is pretty right. cheap.
But Amazon is the most convenient platform.
Yes.
Yeah. And so customer convenience actually trumps pricing.
Oh, I agree. There's nothing worse than browsing on eBay and looking for something. It drives me crazy. Absolutely yeah. crazy. You know.
And you're not the only one, bro.
Yeah.
You're not the only one. And so you want to, when we're talking about what we need to do to increase our sales, another one is to increase the convenience. You know, another thing with Amazon is you know the promise already. Amazon is a brand. They have a promise. Their promise is you order it and you're a Prime member, it'll get delivered to you in 2 days. And if you don't like it, return it. Right. That's a hell of a promise.
Yeah.
And that's why we are able to, that's why it's preferential to purchase from these guys.
Yeah. I'm not faulting it. I just don't like them.
No, that's why I think a lot of people just don't like them, but we use them.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing.
I know. It's really annoying. It's just
annoying.
It's super annoying. Yeah. Because I'd rather buy from a mom and pop shop. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. But if I'm a mom and pop shop, I understand that my competition really is not Amazon.
Very
my
true.
Competition, because they're so far ahead of the game.
Yeah.
You need to just learn from Amazon versus trying to compete with
them. Yeah. Yeah. But then, so let's take it up a notch and let's go to big business. Yeah. So,
yes.
So let's say we've got a big business site. Yeah. You're going to have multiple relationships within that business, right? You're going to have lots of different partnerships. You're going to have agencies. One agency might do your social media. One agency might do your SEO. One might do your on-page optimization. You're going to have tools plugged in there, like loads of tools you can use to check that out and do split tests and this and that, right? So,
yeah. So
all of this, they are the same principles, aren't they? Except for you are taking it up a notch, aren't you? And you're really spreading your resources out a bit more to check out really what's making the difference. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And it makes it a little bit more difficult sometimes to get everybody on the same page,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it makes it a little more difficult to navigate and move fast, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things is you really want to have a good setup where you have a dashboard that you can navigate, make changes on the fly based on what's going on. And that's where things like, you know, IBM Commerce comes into play with their AI, right? Mm-hmm. Watson Commerce literally is able to look at all of those things from a high-end level and make recommendations. Not to just throw that out there. I mean, there's others that are doing the same thing. But what you really want to be able to do is start looking at your marketplace in real time.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, the cloud is so important to us now, because if you have that information in a cloud, everybody throughout the organization and the infrastructure can get to that information. So we don't have all these silos, right? So if I don't know what the marketing team is doing and the merchandising team, then there's a disconnect here. So there has to be communication between those teams so that we can move and everybody be on the same page.
Yeah, yeah. And just like making some small changes could have like massive results, like just a few words here and there, for example, right?
Yeah. I mean, tweaking titles to me is one of the most important things. And I find a lot of large corporation type enterprise level e-commerce are not as adept with that. What they do is they end up taking the manufacturer's title, mm-hmm. you know, and description, and just, you know, it's a basic copy and paste. They import that entire CSV file and they're like, yeah, let's go after it. But what they are dropping is the ability to make their product description more unique. So people are not any longer comparing apples to apples. They're comparing apples to oranges.
Right.
And there, that's a opportunity for you if you start, you know, making unique titles and optimizing those titles for best search by what people search for versus what the manufacturer calls it.
Right. That makes it, that makes a lot of sense. It makes it more appealing, and it means you could, you could, you could charge more, right?
You could possibly charge more, you know, because people are not comparing the apple to the apple, right? You know, we end up using the same product photos, the same titles, and the same description. Well, I think it's the exact same thing. But if you just tweak those a little bit, now I'm looking at something completely different.
It's cool. It's great advice. Great advice. So obviously people are going to want to read your book, right?
Yeah, they need to read my book, bro.
What's your book? What's your book called, bro?
It's called Social Commerce, Kick-Ass Social Commerce for Epreneurs, right? And it's available on Amazon, of course. Of course. Just look up John Lawson Kick-Ass and you'll find it. But the deal is, you know, I actually had a reader tell me that that book literally was the best book they ever read, right? Mm. And not just on business. They said ever read. Right. Now, I mean, that's pretty amazing, but I mean, my mom is a lovely person, so I appreciate her for that review. in all seriousness, this book will change the way you view selling to customers. It is a social commerce book, but what it starts and stems from is from my travels around the world, where everywhere I go, whether I'm in a first world country or a third world country, you can go to the marketplace. And commerce has always been social, because when you get to the center of town where they're trading goods for money or trading goods for other goods, there's also a coffee shop where you can talk and sit, and there's things that are going on that are social. So all commerce is social. And when you understand that and you read this book, it really opens up a whole new pathway for the way you market to your customers.
Yeah. So out of kind of the traffic that you sort of see and the more loyal kind of customers, yeah, what's the kind of, like, on average, like, say you've got an e-commerce site, yeah, like, what's the kind of customer acquisition sort of thing, like, when it comes to social versus other channels, like, percentage wise, what would you sort of expect?
In terms of what?
Like how to get customers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Social, in my opinion, like I said, it's an emerging marketplace in terms of actually selling product there. Mm-hmm. And it's a very unique product that is selling very well there. Things like, you know, supplements or health related stuff or soft educational product. Hard goods, not as well, but it's a fantastic place for you to get awareness. And video on channels like Instagram and Facebook, very cheap way for you to get your product and brand in front of people. Not necessarily just to make the sale there, but to get them brand aware so that when they're ready to make the purchase, they are thinking about your brand versus everything else. So I think that's the best play right now with social media. And the other good play, in my opinion, is really connecting with the audience and finding out. It's a great way to find out how people talk about products that you sell, right? What are the languaging that they're using? What are the questions that they have? What are the issues that they're telling other friends they're having? Or what do they love and like about that product or that experience? And the reason why you can do that, that becomes good fodder for you to put into your descriptions. So I can make a unique description so that it answers to the questions, or in actually improving your product, or being able to compare how much better your product is than the other competitor's product, because they're complaining about X, Y, and Z. And then those become bullet points where I'm like, here's what mine doesn't do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It reminds me of what Jay Abraham was talking about a few years ago. He was saying that when he's thinking about a title for like a blog or something like that, he'll go to Amazon and he'll type in the kind of subject he's looking for, and then he'll go and read all the comments around the books, you know. And it's a very similar thing. It's like user generated kind of content, isn't it, almost?
Yeah, that is user generated content. But now I'm using that user generated content, and I go into that in the book too, about user-generated content and how to use that to make more relevant content to the buyer. So he's going out there and looking at, you know, things that people are saying, and he's using those words, those exact words that actual customers are using, or buyers or readers are using, and putting that into the title of the book, or into a chapter, or into a WordPress blog post, you know, of YouTube video. Look, the way I even got on the scene, right? This is the whole reason why I wrote the book. The way I got on this scene, became a influencer in the e-commerce space, is because I made a video years ago about how to fold a bandana to look like Tupac. Yeah, and it went viral. It's got over 300,000 views.
What? Right?
Yes. I sold tens of thousands of bandanas from that one video. Right? And so that was like my claim to fame back in the day when I first got started. And people were like, how did you do that? Why did you do that? Well, that's so good. And it was not good. It was the number one question that I would get from people that would buy bandanas from me. It was. Because I bought the bandanas to sell to Urban audiences, and what ended up happening is the audiences were worldwide audiences, and they were in the center of America, so they didn't really know the culture of hip-hop that they were trying to emulate. So I got so tired of answering that question that I made a video to answer the question. You feel me? So the number one question that my customers were asking me, I answered in a video. That video was shared, it was embedded on my competitor sites. It was amazing what happened with that one video. But that's where I came to the realization that social is so, when I talk about creating social content, you need to create social content that helps customers with their need when it comes to using your product. It's great to have the best car wax in the world, right? I don't know if people still wax cars. Do they?
I don't know. I think maybe. Yeah, they do.
I do. On a Saturday, I will do it. Yeah. Right? But it's cathartic for me. But it's like, if it's great to have good wax, but if I don't know how to put it on and take it off the proper way, like, you got to go in circles. Why do I go in circles? So you don't miss a spot. That's why we go in circles. So if I sell car wax, I make a video teaching people how to use the car wax. When they're looking for a car wax to buy, guess whose brand is in their mind?
Yours.
Right. Not only is your brand in their mind, they already feel like they owe you something because you taught them the right way.
Yeah. What's the book called?
Power.
What's the book?
Kick-Ass Social Commerce.
If you're listening to this and you need to learn more, you need to buy John's book.
It's crazy.
But you also fly around the world and you do keynotes around this stuff. Like, I'm really lucky to speak to you because since I spoke to you in, like, when was it? January, I think, or something. You're like all over the place.
Dude, I'm getting ready to take off on Tuesday, which is the beginning of April. And literally, so that's April 3rd, I believe, or 2nd. I take off on April 3rd.
Yeah.
So that means I'm in town the 1st, the 2nd, and I'm only in town for 6 more days that month. So the last 2.5 months have been cray cray.
It's cool. It's very cool. I love it.
I mean, I love talking to audiences. e-commerce is a passion for me, and it's, and really just commerce in general is really the big passion.
Yeah. And hip hop.
Yeah. And hip hop. How do you know?
I don't know. I wonder.
Old school. Here's the thing. It's old school hip hop for me now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like new school. That's for the new generation.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
There's a few of them.
So if people want to find you, they can look up Colder Ice. Yeah.
Colder
Ice. Yeah. And then John, and they can find you.
Or just Colder Ice. Just Google Colder Ice. One word, no spaces. You'll find me. You won't miss me. Or you can go to johnlawson.com. I do have that website. Yay.
Woo. Thanks, John.
I'll talk to you later, man.
Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.